As you all just heard, we are recording the conference. It will be posted to the Ombudsman Resource Center website, as the others in this series have been. Before we begin with the actual training, I would like for Aaliyah Murphy with the Ombudsman Resource Center to give us a few instructions about muting, unmuting lines and what's going on with the call. So, Aaliyah, could you give us some information, please?
Sure. Thanks, Sarah. And thank you all on behalf of the Ombudsman Resource Center for joining. Today's webinar is being recorded, as you heard. All participants will be muted throughout the call. The recording and materials, including the PowerPoint, will be posted to the Resource Center website within the next few days. We will hold questions until after the quiz is reviewed. Then if you'd like to ask a question, we ask that you use the raise your hand feature on the webinar screen. We'll then call on you and give instructions for unmuting and muting your phone line. Questions can also be submitted through the chat feature on the bottom left-hand corner of the webinar screen. And now I'll turn it back to you, Sarah.
Thanks a lot, Aaliyah. This call will proceed like the others have, so let me give you a quick overview. Obviously, the purpose is to improve the consistency in NORS reporting across the country and within each state. We also want to provide some clarifying information on activities today. And we are focusing on the activities that are required to be reported to the Administration on Aging. So we'll be using the definitions that the Administration on Aging has developed with the NORS instructions that are currently in effect. We will review the activities and their corresponding measures or the topic, and that's why you have the annotated activities chart. We're trying to do that so that you have a more clear idea about what those activities really cover and what goes into which kind of category. Then we will go through the quiz coding scenarios. I hope you've all worked the quiz and you have the quiz with your answers in front of you during this call. After we get through the quiz and the answers, then we will take questions and answers, and we'll ask Aaliyah at that point to help us remember again how to mute and unmute the lines, and Aaliyah and Lori Smentenko will be helping us know who has their hands raised and managing some of the questions that I know you'll be sending through the chat feature. So we will have some time toward the end of the call to really have questions and answers about the quiz and the answers to the quiz and anything related to that related to ombudsman activities. But we wanted to make sure that we got through the correct answers for the quiz because that explains a lot of helpful information in the process. I want to introduce three people to you. Shelley Hitt, who is chairing the Working to Improve NORS Consistency Work Group, will say just a quick word about this process and the journey that the committee and a number of ombudsmen have been on. Louise Ryan, who's the Ombudsman Program Specialist with the Administration on Aging, will talk about the Administration on Aging's perspective on this training. And Patty Duquier, the Texas State Ombudsman, who's been very involved in a number of these revisions as a member of the WINC, is helping us go through the quiz and the activities. So Louise and Patty and I will be walking you through the different activities and the quiz. So with that, Shelley, would you like to say a word or two about the process that the WINC has used to revise this module?
Thanks, Sarah. Good afternoon, everyone. WINC, Work Group to Improve NORS Consistency, is a group of state and local ombudsmen committed to better consistency in NORS coding. We've had two goals over the past about 18 months. One is to improve the quality and quantity of NORS training, of which this webinar is the fourth in a series. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank the committee for all the work that they have done, thank the NORC staff and Sarah Hunt. This webinar in particular, this activities has been more of a challenge and more effort has gone into revising this. We identified about a year ago that this was an area of significant concern and confusion across the states. And as we looked at the materials we had, we felt like they needed significant revision. So all those people I've mentioned have had a pretty big role in getting us to where we are today. So thank you for that, and I know that we'll all benefit. Secondly, if you have specific NORS coding questions, that is the other task of the WINC. You can email me. You see my information on the slide. Our process is we will review it, discuss it, draft an answer, get a blessing and a review from AOA, and then get back to you individually, and then we are in the process of getting all the questions and answers that we have already completed up and posted on the NORC website, and that is has begun. So stay tuned for how to access that. And again, just thank you all for your work on this important activity that we are engaged in.
Thanks, Shelley. So now we'd like to go to Louise. And Louise, I think you want to say something about the process, but then I know you have some information to provide around the activities as well.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. And I just wanted to just talk for a couple minutes about, you know, the purpose of this data. One, it gives AOA a national snapshot of what you're doing in support of residents and also what you're doing in support of facility staff. And the intent is just to kind of capture the range of work that you routinely do. But I would also add that it does not capture the activities that AOA collects, does not capture all the work that you do. And states have a lot of discretion to collect other data that is very useful at the state level. And so that is, you know, completely fine. And, it's encouraged when it can help your state to promote the program or systems advocacy or to use for program evaluation. There's a couple things within the NORS requirements that also give states flexibility. One is around calculating the percentage of time on technical assistance and systems advocacy. There's no one method to do that, so however your state ombudsman instructs you is the way to do that. And then the other area is around topics, training topics, consultation topics. There's also wide discretion there with regards to how those topics are named and how, you know, what you might report on. So that really varies from state to state. Thank you.
Great. So now if you will pull out your annotated activity chart, we want to go through that pretty quickly. We're certainly not going to read the chart back to you because you can all read, but we wanted to point out just a few things as we look at the various definitions for activities. Obviously, there are 12 activities, and in the chart you see a description of the measures for each activity, and then also some of the descriptions that are added in the chart are intended to help you understand better what's counted under each measure. So, Louise?
Yes. So in terms of the activity chart, again, there's this kind of thing that's come up over time in that we now have a much more sophisticated software. So in the olden days, it was sort of the state ombudsman kind of figured out manually what the top three consultation topics were or what the top three training topics were. Now with software that most people have, that just gets tallied up when the state ombudsman or staff run the NORS ORT report. And so the important thing, though, is to get the data into your system so that it can be counted. And especially with regards to routine visits, the goal for you who is doing the visits or volunteers who are doing the visits is to do the visit and get the data into your software so that the data can be pulled for the ORT report. So, you know, some of these things that used to be more complicated have become simpler over time because of our most states having enhanced software.
And hello, this is Patty Ducaye from Texas. Glad to be with you all on the call today. So I'm going to cover a couple of the first activities in the next slides. Training for long-term care ombudsman staff and volunteers. When you report training for training that you provide for ombudsmen, it's important to remember that the person reporting either acted as the trainer or organized the training for ombudsmen. And that's a description of what it means to be reported from the perspective of the trainer. There are actually four measures that are collected from this activity, and they're here for you: the number of sessions you provide, the number of hours of those sessions, the total number of trainees that attended, and a topic or topics that are collected. And our next slide tells you about technical assistance to ombudsmen. Technical assistance to ombudsmen includes state office advising local ombudsmen and local staff advising volunteer ombudsmen. Assistance may include things like conveying guidance on procedures, can include time spent preparing for training to ombudsmen, and this is also reported from the perspective of the person who provided the technical assistance. Now, there's just one measure for technical assistance, and it's an estimated percent of your total staff time spent on this activity. And so that's one of the items that Louise mentioned earlier. A state has a lot of latitude about how they collect that information from volunteer and staff ombudsmen and then report that to AOA.
Okay, so for activity chart activities, and this is Louise again, with regards to training for your facility staff, we want an unduplicated count of the number of sessions and the primary topic that is covered. And one thing to keep in mind is if, say, two of you go out to do a training to facility staff, we just want to know that there was one training, not that there were two people who did training. And so that's something you have to kind of sort out at the local level. With regards to consultation to facilities, that, again, involves a conversation where you're giving information to a facility provider. It can be done over the phone. It can be done in person. Or if a facility staff person emails you a question, that would also be considered a consultation. And we're looking for, you know, again, an unduplicated count of information and assistance, and you determine what is the main topic that was discussed. Okay, and then similarly with information and consultation to individuals, basically that's anybody who's not facility staff, so that could be residents, family, other professionals, and you're counting each separate request for information. But if they call five times in one day to discuss the same issue, that should still only be one consultation. And again, you're recording the primary topic. And facility coverage, I believe I still do that one. So facility coverage, it's important to know we have a definition that to consider that a facility has consistent coverage by a an ombudsman, it needs to be visited at least once a quarter in the federal fiscal year. And it's not a visit that's only to go out and investigate a complaint. And again, it would be an unduplicated count of facilities. So the main point for you doing the visit is to do the visit and make sure it gets into the computer to be counted. And again, the software will kind of roll that up. Participation in facility surveys, and that would also include anything related to board and care inspections. So it's not just nursing home surveys. And you would count any kind of activity you had related to the survey process. So for instance, if you gave them information prior to the survey or somebody attended an exit conference. But again, this is one of those tricky things where you only count the activity once. So you may have talked to the surveyor before and gone to the exit conference, but it's only one survey that you are dealing with. So it would be one activity. So you don't multiple count activities related to the same survey.
And this is Sarah again. And looking at the resident council and family council work, here again, it's similar to what Louise was saying with the previous activity. If more than one ombudsman attends the same resident council meeting, you only count it as one working with resident councils. You don't count preparation work that doesn't include actually attending the meeting. And talking with residents during the meeting is not counted as consultations in addition to the resident council meeting. So the measure that is reported to the Administration on Aging in the NORS is the number of meetings attended, not the number of ombudsmen who went to the meetings and the number of different kinds of things you talked about in the meetings, but the number of meetings. And the same kinds of definitions and examples and measures apply to working with family councils. And looking at the definition of community education and what goes under this category in activities, you want to look at the number of presentations that are made and or other meetings where you, the ombudsman, represent the ombudsman program. So what do we mean by other meetings? It could be meetings with community groups, with groups of students, churches, different kinds of outreach activities with those various groups. It could also include attendance at community and health fairs or similar gatherings where the ombudsman has a display and staff are there available to talk with the attendees. Here again, the count for this, the measure, is the number of sessions that you do that are fit under community education. In looking at media, it's similar to the way that we've talked about measuring other topics and other activities. The primary topic is covered, not all the different kinds of things you discuss with media, media personnel. It's the number of interviews or discussions and press releases. That's the measure that's reported to the Administration on Aging, the number of interviews or discussions and press releases. So, for example, if you have several discussions with the same reporter about the same story, and this may extend over a period of weeks or months, it's still counted as one contact because it's one story you're trying to work with that reporter on. If you send a press release to multiple outlets throughout your state or even to the country, but it's the same topic, it counts as one press release.
And just a word about monitoring work on laws, regulations, policies, and related actions. Again, in this case, you are putting an estimate percentage of staff time working on these issues, and that would include reviewing, commenting, and developing proposed laws and regulations, going to hearings, regulatory meetings, and this can be at the federal, state, or local level. And the state ombudsman, again, would provide guidance on how to measure this in terms of calculating a percentage of time. And, again, it is an estimate, so it's there is a lot of flexibility. And I did want to mention one other thing before we start the quiz, and that is with regards to quarterly visits to facilities. There is no requirement that states make quarterly visits to facilities, but that is the measure in terms of when AOA looks at, did an ombudsman program provide routine access to a facility? The measure is visiting once a quarter, every quarter during the federal fiscal year. So it's just a way to measure routine access, but there is no requirement that that be done. It's a measurement, and in some states it may be a goal, or there might be state requirements or program requirements, but at the federal level it's not required.
Thank you, Louise. So now let's take a look at the quiz. So pull your quiz out with your answers. Like the other quizzes, this one is intended to see how well you're applying the definitions and instructions to different kinds of fact scenarios. And like the other quizzes, it's kind of a bottom line foundational understanding that assume that there's good ombudsman practice that consent is received when needed, confidentiality procedures are followed as applicable, and only take the scenario based on the facts presented. So we're not teaching ombudsman process and methods. We are teaching coding of ombudsman activities. And just a few tips. Obviously, activities count if they are by ombudsman staff or by ombudsman volunteers. Each activity is counted only once, and you must choose the most appropriate heading. So with that, let's look at the first quiz question. One of your volunteers investigated a complex case of potential resident abuse. She called you several times for advice. You provided strategies for investigation and suggested additional questions to ask residents. You spent approximately 2.5 hours researching relevant laws, discussing the case, and advising the ombudsman. So before we give you the answer, we have a poll. We'd kind of like to see what you think the answer is in terms of the measure. So if you'll just key in your responses real quickly. What's the measure that you have for this quiz question? We're going to skip to the results, and just as a heads up, we will have these interspersed periodically throughout the quiz, so be ready when you see a poll to come up to key in your responses. So it looks like most people thought it was an estimated percentage of staff time, although there are a number of other responses. So let's see what the real response is. Actually, the activity is technical assistance to local ombudsmen and volunteers. We didn't poll you on that. For the measure for this particular activity, it's the estimated percent of total staff time. And there's no topic that was required to be responded to with this activity. To reiterate something that Louise talked about earlier, the estimated total amount of percentage of staff time is something that probably your software will roll up and calculate for you as you input your data. But the only thing that goes to federal government is the percentage of staff time.
Okay, it's Patty back. And quiz number two question is, a nursing home association asks you to provide culture change training at the statewide annual convention. The audience is primarily nursing home administrators and other lead staff. So our answer is training for facility staff. That's the reportable activity. The audience is the key in this example, and here it's the nursing home administrators and other lead staff. The measures include one session that you'll report, and you'll need to report a topic. And so here we've chosen to label that culture change.
Okay, quiz number three. You make an unscheduled visit to Mountain View Nursing Home. Upon entering, you ask for a list of residents so that you can see who is new to the home. You make the rounds introducing yourself to new residents and checking in with residents that you know. One resident asks you about Money Follows the Person program, and facility staff approaches you with questions about a potential resident discharge. And we also have a poll here. Which activities are countable? Okay, we're getting answers here. Okay, so the answers are, so the poll, I think, is pretty good at showing facility coverage. You made just a drop-in unscheduled visit, not in response to a complaint. You talked with a resident, which is information and consultation to individuals, and then consultation to facilities is in at 67%. So, yes, so the activities specifically are facility coverage, information and consultation to individuals, in consultation to facilities. And your measures are one visit, one consultation to individuals with the topic of money follows the person, and one consultation to facilities with the topic transfer discharge.
This is Sarah, quiz question number 4. Prior to the beginning of an annual nursing home survey, you call the team leader and leave a voicemail message with the facility complaint information. The team leader calls you back to clarify some information. You then call the volunteer assigned to the facility to alert him to the upcoming survey. The volunteer is on-site at the facility, including at the exit meeting. So how do you report this? The reportable activity, obviously, is participation facility surveys. The measure is one survey, and the topic is there's no topic required for this one to be reported.
Okay, Patty here. During a routine nursing home visit, the social services director asked to speak with you. She reported noticing an increase in the number of residents who request to return to the community, but families are preventing discharge planning. You explained residents' rights and the role of power of attorney. With this additional information, the social worker said she would try to work on the issues with the residents, their families, and facility staff. So let's look at the answers. The activity that's reportable here is a consultation to facilities. And the key here is you have a clear indication that the facility staff person will work on the issue, and thus you are not receiving a complaint, and that's one way to decide that this is a consultation. The measures for this consultation are counting how many, and in this case it's one consultation, and this activity requires you to report a primary topic, and so we chose resident rights.
Okay, quiz number 6. You attend a resident council meeting. During the meeting, you respond to several resident concerns and questions, as well as a question from a staff member about the upcoming resident rights celebration. And we will have a poll here. What activity or activities do you count? And the votes are still coming in, like Super Tuesday. Okay, and it looks like there's a agreement that the work with resident councils is a primary activity, and then there's some others that have been selected, and we'll move on to the answer in just a minute. Okay, so the activity is work with resident councils. The measure is one resident council meeting, and there is no topic required. Now, the thing to keep in mind is when you go to a resident council meeting, you are engaged in conversation, but you do not count the meeting and the discussion separately in terms of consultation topics. So it's just attending a meeting and you are having a discussion. So there's no additional consultations that you would include in this activity. And also, it is not considered a community education, which I know sometimes people confuse that, and it is not. It's simply resident council meeting. Okay, next.
This one is about a family council. This is Sarah. A family council president asks you for advice about an upcoming family council meeting. You discuss agenda items and recommend a speaker to present on the requested topic of pressure ulcers. You are invited, but you're not able to attend the meeting. So let's go to the answers. Obviously, the activity is information and consultation to an individual. It's not to a family council meeting because you were not able to go to the meeting, but you provided information that was helpful to the family council. The measure is one information and consultation to an individual. Here again, even though it's on behalf of family council, it's the president who calls and talks with you, and you provide information to that individual. The topic of your conversation is a presenter for the family council, so the primary topic is family council.
Hi, it's Patty again. So in this quiz question, you are invited to speak to a group of older adults with hearing impairments who live in the community. The organizer states that she will arrange for a sign language interpreter. At the presentation, you talk about long-term care options and provide information about nursing homes, hospice, and assisted living facilities. So in answers to that quiz, the activity is a community education session. And the key here is in that second line of the answer. So the speaking engagement was two people living outside of a facility. The measures that are associated with this is that it's one community education session, and this does not require a topic be entered for NORS reporting.
Okay, you receive a request to have a display table for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program at Senior Day at the County Fair. During the fair, you hand out information about the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Office and talk to people passing by. And we have a poll for this one. Okay, and so far there's pretty consistent agreement. Okay, and for this activity, it is community education. The measure is just one event, one community education. And this is another one of these tricky ones where having conversations during your community education event, your group event, would not count as individual consultations.
Okay, number 10, this is Sarah. You receive a telephone call from an anonymous person. He states that he recently resigned from a nursing home on good terms. He wants to go back to visit some of the residents whom he considers friends and wants to know if there are any laws restricting him from visiting. The activity in this one is information and consultation to individuals. So what would be the measure or the topic? The measure is one contact for information and consultation. The topic is resident rights. And the resident's rights comes because he was wanting to go back and visit with residents he considers friends. And to be able to answer his question, you need to inform him about the resident's rights to visit with anyone with whom they choose to visit. So that's how you come up with a topic for this particular activity.
Okay, Patty here. Quiz number 11. You serve as a source for a reporter investigating the quality of assisted living facilities. Over a period of 2 months, you have 5 discussions with the reporter related to the story. And we have a poll question to run. What is the measure here? Okay, and are we ready to show the answer? Great. So most of you selected this as the answer. It's work with media, and it's one interview. The key here is that this media contact is related to one subject. Though you had several conversations with the reporter, count this as one interview. And NORS, the Administration on Aging, does want to collect a topic, and so we label that as facility quality for this one.
Okay, and the Ombudsman Program develops materials in preparation for this year's Resident Rights Month, including a press release. The program distributes the release to 4 regional newspapers. and the answer. Okay, the activity is work with media, including press releases. Now, even though they sent out 4 press releases, the measure is just 1. It was the same press release, and the topic was resident rights.
Let's go to question number 13. You are a member of a coalition to support expansion of home and community-based programs. A primary goal of the coalition is to comment on proposed legislation related to the Medicaid waiver to ensure increased consumer access and quality assurance. The group meets monthly, and the agenda includes reports from stakeholders and review of other state programs. We have a poll for this one, so key in your ideas about the measure. It looks like most people think it's monitoring laws and regulations, and a few people thought it was all of the above. So let's see what the correct answer is. The activity, obviously, is monitoring laws and regulations. The measure and or topic, the measure is estimated percent of total staff time. And there again, your state ombudsman will give you some idea, as well as your software, about how you come up with an estimate of your percentage of your total staff time. We wanted to point out that in this one, participating in each meeting can be counted as an estimated percentage. So that's how you count that, is every time you go to a meeting, it can be counted as a percentage of your staff time. And there's no topic required for this kind of activity, which would be the monitoring the laws and the regulations.
Okay, Patty is back. It's quiz question number 14. A local ombudsman provides training for 14 volunteer and 2 staff ombudsmen. The training is from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the afternoon on the first day, and 9 a.m. to 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the second day, which includes a working lunch. The agenda includes training on ombudsman investigation techniques and resolution strategies. Several outside speakers, as well as the state ombudsman, serve as presenters. Let's review the answers. Oh, I forgot, a poll. What is the measure and who counts it? So we're asking you how many sessions this is and whether this is a local ombudsman program reporting it or a state ombudsman program or something else. We have a strong front runner. And the answer is training for local staff ombudsmen and volunteers is the activity. It is one session. It is one session, 8 hours long, for 16 long-term care ombudsmen. And a topic is required here, and so we've labeled that as investigative strategy. Now, the key to this answer is that training was provided over 2 days, but it was a continuation of the same training with really the same audience attending. Now, also, the local program is the one who hosted and organized it. In this case, the state ombudsman is a presenter. She or he is a speaker, but not the one providing the training. So the answer on the poll should be a local ombudsman reports it as one session.
Okay, this is Louise, and we are on to a bonus question. A family council asks the local ombudsman program to give a presentation on residents' rights at a monthly family council meeting. two ombudsmen attend the meeting and each participates in the presentation. In addition, the lead ombudsman who does not attend the meeting helps develop presentation materials used in the meeting. Okay, and the answers are, it's one activity, working with family councils, and so the measure is one family council meeting. There is no topic required, and this is one where you do have multiple ombudsmen involved, but it is one meeting that was attended, and that's what the focus is how many meetings were attended, not how many ombudsmen attended a meeting. And so that's something, you know, you need to sort out as you, best you can.
Okay, and our last question is also a bonus. An assisted living facility director asks you to present training on resident abuse and neglect. In the audience are staff members from three long-term care facilities, a new ombudsman who is observing the training, and a few family members who are also interested in the information. So let's look at the answer. This should be reported as training to facility staff. You had one training that you provided, and you must report a topic, which is abuse and neglect in this case. Now, the key to this answer and how we arrived at it is who asked for the training, and that was the assisted living director, and the intended audience. Also in this training, the majority of in the audience are facility staff. And that's what tips the scales to counting this as training to facility staff.
Thank you, Patty and Louise. This is Sarah Beck. Now we have ample time, and I know some of you noted that we were really zooming through the answers. We have ample time for your questions about the answers or the definitions and how they're counted for the activities. And once we go through all the questions that have come in through chat or those of you who raise your hand and want to ask a question at this point in time, then if there is time available to take questions about other kinds of things that are not specific to the quiz that are related to ombudsman activities, we'll be glad to do that as well while we have some of the experts on the phone. So, Lori, I know that you and Aaliyah have been monitoring chat and have some questions that have come in that way that you want to pose, and I see that people are raising their hands. So if you'll help us make sure that we catch up with some of the people who've been waiting for a while, we'll take those questions and move on. So who do we – what's the first question we need to address?
Sure, Sarah. This is Aaliyah. So I just want to remind everyone again that if you'd like to ask a question, you can either raise your hand and then we'll call on you and give you instructions for unmuting and muting your line, or you can type it into the chat feature. And we have had some come through chat. The first question is, if a caller asks for a particular brochure, is this a consultation?
Ooh, yikes. Well, that's a tricky one. I guess my question back was there a conversation? If they just call and say, can you send me five brochures, thank you very much, here's my address, I would say no, that's just giving information. You know, again, not everything is counted in NORS. You may count it at your state level in some way, but if there's no exchange of information, I don't think that would be considered a consultation. You know, there's lots of good things that ombudsmen do that we're just not capturing at the federal level.
Sad but true. Thank you, Louise, for that clarification. And that takes us back to some of the definitions we visited before and the very fact that you're right. Not everything an ombudsman does during the course of your day, although it's very valuable, gets reported to the federal level. So, Aaliyah, you want to give us another question that has been hanging out in chat waiting for this time in the agenda?
Sure. This one says, does a routine visit where a separate discussion about money follows the person with staff or resident get documented separately?
Well, you have your routine visit, your non-complaint visit, and then it sounds like you would have a consultation. If somebody approaches you with a question about Money Follows the Person, I that would be fair to count that as a consultation.
So I think what you're saying, bottom line, is a routine visit counts as a routine visit, but during the routine visit, other things may come up which get coded differently depending upon the nature of the interaction and what the scenario is in front of you, correct?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So when you're making a routine visit, that doesn't mean that's the only thing you can count that day to reflect your time. Let's go to someone who has a hand raised, and if you want to unmute your line, do you, Aaliyah, do you know who's been having their hand up longer?
Yes. Donna Myers, I see your hand's raised, so if you'd like to unmute your line, if you could please press *7, and you can go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I had a question as it related to the question number 13, the coalition. I attend a monthly meeting with APS. What I've been doing in the past is every month I go into Ombuds Manager and list that at, under the activity section and put in my time that I spent at that meeting. It sounded like on number 13 that's only one activity for the whole year. Am I misunderstanding that? I'll hang up and let you answer.
No, see if we can go back to the number 13 answer. That you can, oh, I guess we didn't include it in the answer. I'm sorry. So the time you spend doing that kind of work, you count repeatedly. So if you go to a monthly meeting, then every month those hours are going to count towards your estimated percentage of systems advocacy. So, yeah, you would continue to enter that under the monitoring laws, regulations. Yeah.
And Louise, this is Patty. A follow-up to that,
mm-hmm.
I would also add that attendance at any meeting doesn't necessarily count towards, in this example, monitoring laws and regulations.
Right.
The purpose of the meeting is important to this example, and so it depends on what activity, what meeting you're attending and the purpose of that group, whether it is reportable to AOA and how you would report it.
Yeah, I mean, a kind of a common thing that's occurring is like multidisciplinary meetings to prevent elder abuse, and that can involve, you know, systems change, looking at revising what laws need to be improved, things like that. That's an example. So it's something that relates to regulation, policy, legislation at the state, local, or federal level.
Thank you, and I would encourage people to go back to the annotated activity chart as you have questions and back to the NORS instructions as well, because sometimes that will provide some clarification. But these kinds of questions are really excellent to be asking at this point in the call. So let's go to another person who has their hand raised, and then we may drop back and pick up a question from chat. So, Aaliyah, who's next in queue?
We have Joseph Rodriguez next. So, Joe, if you'd like to ask a question, you can just hit *7.
Thank you. Good afternoon. We have a question regarding training for facility staff. According to the NORS instructions, it says, give the number of sessions provided by state and local ombudsman staff and the three most frequent topics of training at each level. I want a clarification. When the instructions say, state and local ombudsman staff, does it mean state and local ombudsman staff, including volunteers, or just paid staff?
It would include volunteers, so typically at the local level, but if you have volunteers at the state level, wherever they exist in your state, if they're local volunteers under a local office, then count it there. If your state just has a statewide program with state volunteers, then you count it there. Yeah.
Okay. I think then we need to probably have a conversation with Harmony, because Ombuds Manager won't allow us to use volunteers to report on this activity, only staff.
Oh, really? Well, that's bizarre. Okay.
Huh. That's new. I mean, yeah.
But, did that happen in 2.0 or something?
Yes.
Oh dear. Yeah, I think they made a. I think they made a goof. So you guys need to have a chat with them.
You will. Too bad Joe Sander and John Beyer were just here this morning.
Oh darn! I can let Gail at Harmony know that as well, just as a heads up. But you all need to, from the ombuds manager perspective, follow up. Yeah.
You will. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great. So, Leah, do we have another question to pick up through the chat?
We do. This question says, for bonus question number one, should the time recorded by the other ombudsman be counted as tech assistance?
That's a good question. Again, it's one of those things where maybe we just aren't able to reflect it at the federal level. If, say, the person who developed the PowerPoint developed something that would be used by other ombudsmen, then I would say, yes, that would be technical assistance. So it kind of depends on what's the use. But two ombudsmen attending a family council meeting, maybe if one is going to learn about family councils, then that would be technical assistance. So I think you can find ways to count it. You know, if you've got if there's multiple purposes for what you're doing. So I hope that makes sense.
Thanks, Louise. So let's take one more from chat, and then we'll go back to the people with their hands raised.
Sure. This question says, we recently had a new training orientation for four new people. We had 8 3-hour sessions, each session on a different day with a different topic. Is this counted as one training to four volunteers?
So you had, let me see if I have this right, you have 8 training sessions to 4 volunteers. Let me see if I can find this. Is this written somewhere? Sometimes I need to read these things. It sounds like, okay, here we go. Training orientation for 4 new people. We had 8 3-hour sessions, each on a different day with a different topic. It sounds to me like if you're calling this your volunteer orientation training, it is one training. It's just spread out over several days. And so, for instance, in a lot of states, certification training might be 4 days, and it might be spread out, you know, over 2 weeks. It's still one training, and it may be 32 hours. So you would have one session, and then, let's see, 8 times 3 would be 24 hours for 4 people. Yeah.
Okay, great. These are good questions. Let's go back to someone who has a hand raised. So, Leah, who's next?
Sure. Kathy Swanson, if you'd like to ask your question, you can press *7 now.
Hi, this is Kathy Swanson. And my question is in regard to training volunteers or new staff ombudsmen on level 1 training, which is a statewide program. You've got a miscellaneous source of topics. So what do you put down when the ORT field requires you to put in a topic? And then when you're mentoring them in a facility, what topic do you put down?
So the training topic is you know, there's no, the sky's the limit at this point. There hasn't been any limits on what the topics could be. I think if they're new ombudsman, you may call it your orientation or your certification training or what
have
you.
That's not part of any of the choices, though.
You can add choices. If you have, in the ORT, you can manually type in a choice, topic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can manually enter that. Pretty much anything in the ORT, the ombudsman reporting tool that state ombudsmen use to report to AOA, you can manually enter everything.
Okay.
So anything you don't like, you can change.
And how do I unmute now or mute?
*6.
Thank you.
Let's take another person who has their hand raised.
Sure. If Sue Drum could unmute your line using star 7.
Hi, thanks. I have two questions. The first one is, I didn't listen to the prior calls in this series, and I don't have an annotated activity chart. How would I get that?
It's posted on the Ombudsman Center resource.
On the NORS website?
Website, yes. On the NORS website, yes.
Okay, great.
And it will be under training, the Ombudsman Support Training, NORS Training. And
thank you.
You can find all the materials. And since you asked that question, all the materials that we're using on this call, the PowerPoint as well as the answer key to the quiz,
mm-hmm.
will be posted immediately after the webinar today or, you know, within the next day or two. And we've been posting the PowerPoints from the other webinars online as well so that those of you who are repeating this training or didn't catch everything and want to read the rationale for the answers, you can access the materials and the PowerPoint. You can certainly adapt as you need to based on the training that you want to provide.
Thank you. And my second question refers to the activity topics for which you all say the measure is the estimated total of staff time. I may have missed this, but how is that calculated? Because if I spend, say, 2 hours on monitoring regs, laws and regs, I just put it in as 2 hours. Is that automatically calculated?
You know, it really depends on your software.
Okay. I use Ombuds Manager. I just didn't know what the definition of mm-hmm. measure was because I don't measure by percentage. I don't know what the percentage
mm-hmm.
is.
Yeah. So for people who use a lot of the software just has you put in hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, and frankly, unless you're putting in all your hours, the state ombudsman may not get the right answer on the end, and they'll have to adjust based on, you know, their kind of sense of what's going on in the state. And that's acceptable. It's an estimated percentage. So it's
okay.
But at the local level, having those hours might be very helpful, you know. So.
Yeah, I do submit that to let my AAA know mm-hmm. what I'm doing. I just wanted to make sure that the term measure didn't mean something we were supposed to input.
No, I think the Ombuds Manager usage is like instance and then hours.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I unmute it? How do I mute it, I mean?
Star 6.
Thank you.
Thanks. I see that we have quite a few questions in chat, so Aaliyah, why don't you take us through two or three of those?
Sure. The first is, how is information and referral different than consultation to individuals?
They're not. Your consultation always includes information, and it might include referrals. I think sometimes the language gets interchanged, but basically it's the same idea.
I think we've all kind of got this down already.
Louise, this is Patty.
Mm-hmm.
I read another chat question that is kind of related to what you were just asked. Someone asked if there's also a collection of information and consultation to families, and I think your answer applies to that question too, that locally in the state there may have been some separation of consultations to families from consultations to residents. But when it gets reported to AOA, that gets wrapped up under this one large category of information and consultation to individuals.
Yep, that's correct. Thank you.
Aaliyah, let's take another question from chat.
Sure. This one asks if signs on buses, articles in church or senior advocacy newsletters would be considered work with media or community education.
I think that lands in the work with media category because, you know, community education means you are, you know, engaging with a group in the community. But, you know, these are very kind of related to media exposure and might lead to some community education events, or it might indirectly educate the community. But in terms of counting it as your activity, you'd want to figure out how to count that as a NORS activity. Like if you send out a media advisory with an article, that would be considered a press release.
Called twice. I'm on a conference call. It's just finishing up. We're here in my office.
Joe,
office.
You forgot to mute.
Yeah. Thanks, Louise. I think that kind of relates to one of the quiz questions of Sarah that I covered that had to do with community meetings, and it talked about you could count displays at health fairs, et cetera, if you were there engaging in conversation dialogue in the booth or the display was attended by an ombudsman representative. So it's somebody there to have conversation with people counts as community education. Just the signage you would put into the media category, and I think that fits very consistently with your explanation of that. Okay, Aaliyah, let's take a question from somebody who's had their hands up. I see two or three who've had their hands raised for a while. Let's take two or three of those questions now.
Sure. Sharon Wilder, if you'd like to ask your question, you can hit star 7.
Go ahead. Hey. This is Denise in North Carolina. On question number 5, during a routine nursing home visit, well, my question is, you counted, the answer was consultation to facility. Why did you not also count the facility visit?
We did, I think.
No, she's right. We just were pointing out that this particular activity within the visit was a consultation.
Okay. You know what? I would have counted that, though. I thought on our original version we did. So, that's interesting.
So
how did that happen? Oops.
Well, that's great. I was just
yeah. Thinking. Good catch.
Okay.
Because when I originally kind of reviewed this question, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm mixing up my answers here. I would say it could be. I think, yeah. Yep, it would be counted as a routine visit.
Okay, how do we mute back?
Star 6.
That was a good question. And here again, it goes back to, if you're making a routine visit, you always count a routine visit. If other things occur during a routine visit, you can also count those depending on the nature of what comes up during that visit. Okay. I think we have another hand raised. Aaliyah?
Yes. If Sherilyn Moe could please hit star 7, you can ask your question.
There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi. I have a question on just an interpretation of 5, information and consultation to individuals. Under the notes, it says, do not count conversations related to a specific case. So our question is, if you are out doing a complaint investigation and within your conversations, whether that be with a resident, family member, staff, you do end up providing some information or consultation. Why would you not use information and consultation as recording as such?
Well, so I think part of it is keeping it simple. When you're working on a case, you're going to have lots of conversations, and you may be providing lots of referrals, and, you know, there's a lot of back and forth, and that's just part of your case consultation work. I mean, your case investigation work and your complaint resolution work. So it's all the activity related to the complaint resolution. Now, if you, say, went and made a complaint-related visit, and then as you're leaving the building, a resident stops you with a question not related to, you know, anything that you've been working on. It's a different resident, and they have a question. Then you would add a consultation separate from your complaint work. But anything related to your complaint work is just, it's all bundled in your complaint work.
And then a follow-up question on number 6, where you attend a resident council meeting. Is this scenario, assuming that the concerns and questions of residents is related to resident rights celebration, because if we would attend a resident council meeting and we have a number of residents that might approach the ombudsman with concerns and questions that might be unrelated to the primary topic, we would probably record those differently. So is six, assuming that the concerns and questions are all about the resident rights celebration?
You respond to several resident concerns and questions, as well as a question from a staff member about the upcoming resident rights celebration. So there was a variety of topics. Now, sometimes, and again, there is no topic required. You know, resident council meetings can cover a lot of territory in an hour. And sometimes you may end up having a case and a complaint that comes out as a result of going to the resident council meeting, but that's a whole different issue. In terms of the activity, it's working with resident councils.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll find the information in the annotated activities chart under working with resident councils helpful in clarifying that as well, because then it talks about consultations versus attending meetings, and it shows you that you don't pick out a topic, and that's not one of the measures for this particular type of activity for the reasons that Louise just stated. I know that we have quite a few questions in chat. Some are related to each other under one broad topic. So, Leah, would you bring up two or three more of those, please?
Sure. The next question asks if all of the information shared with NASOP, Consumer Voice, NORC, such as tip sheets or surveys, where that should be reported.
Well, with regards to NORS, you know, maybe it's technical assistance, or maybe if it's specific to a systems advocacy issue, like Consumer Voice wants your opinion on some federal policy thing, then it could be working on monitoring monitoring laws, regulations, and policies. But again, we don't always count everything in NORS, so it just may not fit. There's just things that ombudsmen do that just aren't, you know, we just don't count.
Thanks, Louise. Leah, another question?
Sure. This person asks if she participates in the Senior Coalition and works on coalition activities outside of the meetings, does she count those hours as working on laws?
Yes. So it doesn't just have to be during a meeting. It could be researching. It could be, you know, everything related.
Okay, great. We have several questions asking kind of the same thing. This one says, if they have monthly meetings, the same meetings but in different locations, should that be counted as one meeting or several?
So if it's one meeting and the same topic, like, for instance, some volunteer ombudsman programs have their covered large territory, so there's three meetings to meet the local needs of the ombudsman. So they go, the regional ombudsman goes to three different cities for their volunteer meeting. It is still one, and it's a training, we'll say. It's still one training, and you're going to have, say you have 10 ombudsmen at each setting, you're going to have 30 ombudsmen, and your meeting is, or your training is 3 hours. So it's one training. And that would be the same for facility staff where, you know, you might be trying to hit training the staff at three different shifts. So you're going to do the same training three different times. It's still one training.
Thanks. Leah, another question?
Sure. We also have several people asking how would you record today's training?
Yeah, that was a fun question. I have to think about that. You are attending a training, but we don't really count, how would you put, you are not the trainer. So from the perspective, if you look at the NORS activity sheet, it says training for ombudsmen, staff, and volunteers. The activity is from the perspective of the trainer, reporting on training provided by or arranged by ombudsman program staff. So for a lot of you, this would count as technical assistance to ombudsmen. Now, I'm just thinking out loud, and Patty, you might want to help me think out loud, and Sarah. It seems to me that the general coding would be technical assistance. However, there is that little piece of the definition that says the activity is from the perspective of the trainer, reporting on training provided by, or this keyword here, arranged by, okay, ombudsman program staff. So if you arranged for some of your staff to come to this training, then I guess technically that would count as training for ombudsman staff. So, but if you just called in for yourself, then I would put that under the technical assistance. So do you see the difference? It's a little tricky. And so if you arranged for other people to participate in this call, that would be training. And so, yeah, and Shelley, I had said that this was technical assistance. And Shelley says, well, you are receiving technical assistance. I guess part of my assumption is you're getting technical assistance and you will go forth and technically assist yourself and others. So that's one that, you know, it's a little fuzzy how to count this one.
Well, I think a related question, Louise, is once we leave today's training and those of us who've been trained on how to use this, we'll use the NORC materials.
Mm-hmm.
And when we deliver that training to one or more ombudsmen, then we've got training that we're providing. So
right. That's
clear cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think attending this training is only countable in your state if your state wants to collect a specific number of hours.
Right. And a lot of states do. So I know when I came where I came from, we would count it, and then I'd have to back it out for the federal reporting. So it depends. Some of it depends on what your state ombudsman wants. So that would be the other piece.
Yes, somebody else commented that they would record this as recertification hours.
Mm-hmm.
And just the point, though, is that technically that doesn't get reported to AOA.
Right. It might be counted that way, but again, at least I know I at the state level, I would have to back out hours when it came to reporting to AOA because, you know, but because you can collect so much information in your software and you want it as state ombudsman or even local ombudsman, you want it for specific reasons, you just have to be sensitive to the fact that when it comes to federal reporting, you don't want to overcount what you're doing. So,
thanks. Aaliyah, another question or two from chat. We have time for just a few more questions.
Sure. Someone would like you to please provide some examples of coding under general ombudsman activity.
General ombudsman activity?
Yes.
I'm not clear what that means. That's not a activity code in NORS.
Do you think we could unmute Monica Rowe's phone?
Yeah, I guess I'd need a better explanation.
Sure. Monica, if you'd like to explain, if you could please press *7.
Yes. We usually code things that don't go in under NORS in a particular category, like this meeting you mentioned about the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We usually would code this under just general ombudsman activity. So that question just popped up. I just want a little bit more clarification if you all could offer that. What should we code under general? Because it sounds like there may be some things that we've been coding under general that really should be coded in another manner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That could be. And so that's something, you know,
I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
To, you know, follow up with your state ombudsman. Sounds like in your state they have developed this general ombudsman activity code to kind of catch those things that at the federal level are not required. And, you know, a lot of states do those, you know, add extra activities. So I would say follow up and make sure that what you're counting as general ombudsman activities, make sure it's not NORS related, if that makes sense. So anything on this annotated activity chart, you should be counting for the purposes of reporting to the Administration on Aging. And then general activities might be, you know, going to your agency staff meeting that's not ombudsman, it's the broad agency staff meeting. You're required to go. It's a work function. It's related and not related to ombudsman. So, yeah, those kinds of things might fit.
Thanks, Louise. Aaliyah, let's take a few more questions from chat.
Sure. Someone would like you to clarify if the percentage monitoring laws means just the percentage of paid staff, not volunteers?
It could include, well, let me think here. I don't know if we've ever really, you know what, we don't ask for that to be broken down by state or local, and I checked the handy-dandy chart, which is a good thing for me to do, and it's the percent of total paid staff time. So you do not count volunteer time on that. And again, at the state level, you may want to for your own purposes, and then you just then when it comes to reporting, you back out that estimated time.
Great. Another question?
Okay. This person notes that they are doing a lot of system advocacy these days, and where would you suggest the best place to report it in NORS?
Well, you know, in NORS there is the, you know, systems advocacy activity, which would be the monitoring work on laws, regulations, government policies, and actions. And so, again, it's just an estimated percent time. But on the ORT report, you have a section, a narrative section, where you want to report on your systems advocacy. So that would go into the ORT narrative report. And those are the two places that the federal, you know, that AOA wants it. Again, at your state level, you'll probably do a lot more with that information than what we collect at the federal level.
And Louise, I'd like to also mention that in looking at the clarification in the annotated activities chart under that one, the monitoring laws, regulations, et cetera, it says monitoring/work. And the definition talks about it includes time spent reviewing, commenting, and developing proposed
mm-hmm.
laws and regulations. So I think that covers a broad range of potential systems advocacy work that's not related to systemically trying to resolve a complaint. So it could be you're just working on proposed regs or trying to get somebody to change a policy that may not be something that's really a law, but you're trying to do that kind of policy level intervention. And it seems to me that under the annotated definition, it encompasses a range of activities as you described. Okay, do we have another question, Aaliyah?
We do. This question says, if you don't have staff or enough volunteers to make quarterly visits, will that look like you're not visiting at all?
Well, you know, that's one thing that right now what has been asked for and what's been kind of promoted as a value is trying to have some consistent visits to facilities. And the measure is, again, for it to be considered routine, it's once a quarter. So if you miss visiting a facility within a year, within that one of those quarters, it will drop off. So it can affect your numbers, but it is what it is. I mean, we know that programs are challenged with budgets and reductions in staff and challenges recruiting volunteers. So, you know, and that's why it's not a requirement, and it's, you know, but it is something we look at in terms of a value, in terms of our states able to get out and do quarterly visits. So it's, you know, a lot of states try to set goals for, you know, improving that. But, you know, it's not, we understand that things happen and quarterly visits some years look better than others.
Thanks. Let's take one more question, and then we will begin to wrap up the call. And I will say that if we don't get to all the questions that are in chat, we will have a way of responding to them, and I will give you some tips about that at the end of the call as we begin to do the summary and closing. So, Aaliyah, let's pick up one more question, please.
Sure. This question says that we are required to attend monthly meetings with our agency. That doesn't count, but we are asked to report what our program is doing, so we are educating other folks about our program. Could that be a form of community education, since there are questions asked, et cetera?
I would say no. I think that would fit perfectly into the other state that has the general ombudsman activity category. You know, there's just these things that we do that at the federal level are not reported. And it's important that you go to your agency meetings and speak up for the ombudsman program, but it's just not reported in NORS. It doesn't make it any less important or valuable, but it just is something that is not required to report on.
Thank you, Louise, and thanks, Aaliyah, for your excellent assistance during this call. What we want to do is kind of bring up some of the things that we've talked about in the last hour and a half pertinent to ombudsman activities. Basically, the activities give a full range of your work not related to complaints, and we've dealt with the complaints and how you count those and report those the previous three calls. But this hits the highlights of your primary ombudsman activities, but as we've pointed out numerous times, it's not 100% of what you do, and not 100% of what you do is reported and on the NORS report that goes to the federal government. Under activities, you can reflect work by staff or by volunteers, and it also captures local-level activities as well as state-level activities. States can use some discretion in capturing the topics. We've talked about the primary topics and different ways that software programs have of manipulating that, or different ways that states have for deciding what the primary topic is to turn in, or the top three topics to turn into AOA. But the gist of it is, when you report topics as part of an activity, it's not a laundry list of every possible topic that you discussed with somebody in a conversation or a consultation. States can collect more information than is required. We've talked about that numerous times, and the last response to the question certainly made that point quite clearly. So if you need more clarity about some of the things we've talked about, feel free to send information to Shelley Hitt, and her email address was up there as well as her phone number. And then on the NORC website, we've talked about earlier, all these materials will be posted. I also wanted to let you know that the questions and answers that the WINC has been dealing with will soon be posted so that you can all access those. And those tend to be questions and answers about other types of scenarios in terms of, if this happens, how do we code this particular kind of thing? And after the WINC works with those and make sure that the answers are consistent with the NORS instructions and AOA has a chance to weigh in on that, those responses will be posted on the NORC site, and we'll send an announcement out when they go up. But that way you can all see the body of response and information that's helping to clarify how do you really code accurately and consistently nationwide information to be reported to the Administration on Aging. I also want to call your attention to the fact that very soon we will have posted on the NORC website a Train the Trainer video from a session that was hosted in October of 2011 that has a range of best practice tips and how to replicate the NORS training but keep it interesting and keep people engaged. But at the same time, you really help build consistency within your own program, within your state and nationwide in understanding which codes you use under what circumstances and which things are very state-specific and go in another place that just aren't reported on to the federal government. So we'll send an announcement out when that video goes up, but I think you'll find that quite a lively session. There was a lot of give and take in terms of questions and answers, and many excellent training tips were given. For today's call, if there are other questions in chat that we did not respond to, the Wink and Louise will receive those. We will try to respond to those and get back to you by email or fold those into the responses that are posted on the website. At the conclusion of this call, and as you start to log off, you will have an opportunity to respond to some questions that provides feedback. We actually have been using those to try to refine and improve what we do from one call to the next. Once again, I really thank the Wink for revamping these materials, and it took quite a long time, and our presenters today for helping to contribute to the flow of the session. And Louise, we certainly appreciate AOA's interest and guidance and continuing involvement in helping us all with consistency for this reporting system. Thank you to Aaliyah and Lori, who've been dealing with the chat and the logistics of the call. And thanks to all of you for your work. So that concludes this call on NORS 4.
And
thank you
all very much.
Thank you. Please stand by.